Everyone in this community has a story. The Public Library's Listening Project seeks to honor our common ground and our diversity by creating an archive of oral histories. We encourage people to inquire and to listen to each other's life experiences and set aside some time for an interview, which will be recorded and saved for posterity at the public library. In this excerpt, DJ Roundtree talks with her friend Heidi Lee about the Roundtree family cabin in Beecher's Pass, built from logs possibly from Thomas Bay back in 1927.
Well, I think the cabin was important to Roundtree's, the family, Claudette and Izzy, the family into which I joined, because for 20 years before they bought the cabin, they had hunted and boated and camped at this cabin. And it's the only log cabin in the district. And they would wait until they saw the owners had come to town, and then they'd go in for a couple days because it was always unlocked. And it had one of those closures on the door where a board fell down and fit in a slot. And so everybody knew that there was a string hidden in the moss and the chinks in the logs. So you just found the string and pulled it and pulled up the latch type thing, and you were able to stay in the cabin. You know, all I ask is what you leave it clean. So anyway, their name was Allen, Bob Allen, and I'm not sure if he had a little marine repair shop or whether he was the one who built houses. Hmm. Ruth Sandvik may live in a house that was built by Bob Allen.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, he must have decided he wanted to have a cabin, and this was early 20s. He went to the Forest Service, and they said, well, just choose a place. Whether or not there was a fee, I never heard. Uh-huh. But he chose a point that was just beautiful, looking three out of four directions. And then he also had dealings with the Prushoff brothers. And they, there were three of them, Ed and Frank and one other brother, and they were known to have the best logging outfit in southeast Alaska. So he chose these men to build him a log cabin on the site that he'd chosen, and a Mr. Birch was in on this too. And they stayed all winter, and they were given $500 to split, and they could stay some days in town, but they built a little shack, we know because there's window glass back up behind the outhouse, and stayed in there part of the time. And they got their room and board. And the question is, where did they get the logs? The rumor is, because they were loggers, they chose Thomas Bay because they could get uniform logs. And I guess for building a cabin, you could only have so much of a variation between the one end and the other end. Anyway, they built this cabin in 1927 and stayed there all winter. After they got the logs, they laid them out on the point and let them mature, and then put them up. And our biggest mystery, or to us, is that which one of them or who built the fireplace, because it's made of local stone and it's never smoked inside. I mean, 27, that's a long time for a fireplace to survive. So anyway, that was kind of the beginning of it.
So your in-laws went down there hunting. So it was Izzy
and Claude and the two boys, Lyle and Lloyd.
And they would go down
there?
They'd
go down every weekend.
Oh, okay.
And they'd go someplace. They'd go to Grief, which mm-hmm. There was nobody in there either. But cabins were left open in those days, and people used them, were careful with them.
So then as you came to town as a teacher, a young teacher,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how were you introduced to the cabin?
I was told we'd gone down to stay at Grief because it was open, and Lyle had said, the cabin we like to stay in is that one over there. But it belonged to Les Wingard and Dick Brennan, and it was called Wingard. The Allen sold it to him someplace during the 40s,
mm-hmm.
And it was known as Brenwyn for years. And the Brenwyn kids that are still alive have wonderful stories to tell.
The Listening Project is waiting for your story. Contact the public library to learn more about how to participate.